Well, the pastor of the Florida church that planned to burn the copies of the Holy Quran on 9/11 has canceled the controversial event. Terry Jones claims he called it off after organizers of the planned Islamic Center close to Ground Zero in New York agreed to relocate it. But one of the organizers immediately denied any such deal. The pastor's plans to burn Qurans on the 9th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks drew international condemnation. The head of the Organization of the Islamic Conference vented grave concerns about the plan. And Asian nations, including Indonesia, Malaysia, Pakistan, and India, separately called on the U.S. president to take strong action against the move. Well, to update us on the story there, Press TV's correspondent Colin Campbell joins us from Washington. Now, Colin, there are conflicting reports coming in regarding this new development. Tell us what you know.
Well, of course, the developments are coming in a little bit slowly here. It was kind of an abrupt announcement after many days of speculation whether or not Terry Jones was actually going to go through with his plan. He says, or it's being reported, that it's being called off. However, like you said, there are conflicting stories, and no one has been able to really confirm whether or not this agreement was actually reached. Now, many have speculated that Terry Jones would look for any excuse to call off plans because of the increasing pressure for him not to burn the Quran. Of course, he did start to weaken a little bit. We heard earlier this week when he said that if President Obama appealed to him directly, or the Pentagon appealed to him directly, he also said he would back off in that case, even though the president and General Petraeus did speak out against his proposed plans. He still didn't seem to budge, but he said if he could be courted, so to speak, and call off his plans for this weekend. Now it seems that this might be another development that might influence his decision, and that's why you're hearing these reports that it might be called off altogether. There has been increasing pressure, not just here in the U.S., but around the world, for Terry Jones not to burn the Quran because this could incite violence, this would hurt their feelings and offend millions of people worldwide. And, of course, this small church out of Florida would feel this pressure and be the center of a worldwide spectacle. Now, it was also reported that he worked out this deal with an imam in Central Florida who worked as a mediator with the imam of the community center that's proposed around the site of Ground Zero in New York. So it's possible that the meeting with the imam in Central Florida was a definite, and that there are negotiations for Jones to meet with Imam Rauf in New York later this weekend. But again, that's still being confirmed. So there's still a lot of developments that we're learning about as we go along, but it is a popular opinion that Jones would be looking for almost any excuse to call off this Quran burning because of the serious backlash that could occur as a result of his actions.
Well, thank you. That was Press TV's Colin Campbell reporting from Washington. Many thanks, Colin, for that update there on Press TV.
Israeli warplanes have bombed several targets in the besieged Gaza Strip. Eyewitnesses say two Palestinians have been injured. Israeli officials have confirmed that a military operation has been carried out in the coastal strip without giving any further details. Our correspondent in Gaza, Ashraf Shannon, has more.
Israeli F-16 fighter jets fired at least one rocket at a security compound west of Gaza City. At the meantime, another Israeli F-16 fired two rockets at the tunnels in the southern Gaza and the town of Rafah, injuring two people. Also, another rocket was fired east of Gaza City. Meanwhile, Israeli tanks fired a number of shells in northern Gaza. According to hospital sources, only two people were wounded, and By the morning, we'll find out if there were casualties or none in the southern Gaza Strip town of Rafah, because there's hundreds of tunnels in that area and people could be still missing in that area.
Well, as the holy month of Ramadan comes to an end, Iranians prepare to celebrate Eid al-Fitr. Press TV's Amir Mahdi Kazemi has this report.
A month of fasting, practicing patience and self-restraint, marks its last day as millions in Iran prepare to celebrate the Eid al-Fitr in the end of Ramadan. To the Muslims, Ramadan is the most sacred month of the year. They consider it as God's feast and pay more attention to religious and spiritual ceremonies.
During this month, we try to get closer to God. Also the Rad nights, or the nights of honor in which we believe God sends his blessings to those who ask him, are in the month of Ramadan. In Ramadan, we can change by looking deep into ourselves.
Muslims refrain from eating and drinking from dawn to dusk during the holy month as a means to purify their bodies and souls. Now they have to go back to the ordinary routine of everyday life. Many people say they welcome Eid al-Fitr while they miss Ramadan so much.
Ramadan is a tradition that every Iranian has experienced since childhood. We miss it. Of course, it is a little difficult in the beginning, but saying goodbye to it is also hard.
Traditionally, Eid al-Fitr in Iran is followed by visiting friends and relatives, especially parents. But the biggest event in this religious occasion is the massive congregation, attended by millions of Iranians right after sunrise, held in all towns and villages across the country on the first day of Shawwal in the Islamic lunar calendar.
Muslims in Iran bid farewell to the holy month of Ramadan as they prepare themselves to take part in the Eid al-Fitr prayers. Traditionally, the event in Tehran is led by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The event is due to take place in Tehran University this year, in which the Iranian leader is expected to discuss issues related to the world of Islam and Iran. Amir Mehdi Kazemi, Press TV, Tehran.
Elsewhere, Germany's central bank has announced the resignation of board member Thilo Sarrazin. Bundesbank says the decision is based on a mutual understanding. This means the German president's request for Sarrazin's dismissal has been withdrawn. The move comes amid heavy criticism against Sarrazin over his allegedly racist remarks in a book he published last month. In the book, Germany Does Itself In, Sarrazin says Muslim immigration and a high birth rate among Turkish immigrants will end up destroying the German economy.
Well, French police have searched the headquarters of the French president's UMP party over the L'Oréal scandal. Reports say the search was ordered by Philippe Corroy, the main prosecutor in the L'Oréal scandal. President Nicolas Sarkozy's party has allegedly received illegal donations from France's richest woman, L'Oréal heiress Lilian Bettencourt. The funds were allegedly used for Sarkozy's presidential campaign back in 2007. The news was made public after secret recordings made by Bettencourt's former butler leaked to the media. Bettencourt is also accused of handing over envelopes full of cash to Sarkozy and other senior politicians in return for tax evasions on her fortune.
Remaining in Europe, in Britain, a record trade deficit has raised fears for the country's economy. Figures released by the Office for National Statistics show the deficit on Britain's global trade in goods has reached a record high level of $13.4 billion. The deficit widens as exports fall and imports to the country rise. This while the Bank of England says it will keep the interest rate at the historic low of 0.5% for the 18th consecutive month. There have been calls for an increase in interest rate to curb inflation.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. These are the headlines this hour. Under international pressure and condemnation, a U.S. pastor cancels plans to burn Qurans on the anniversary of 9/11. Israeli warplanes bomb the Gaza Strip, damaging several buildings. And Muslims mark the end of the holy month of Ramadan with Eid al-Fitr prayers.
And just ahead here on Press TV, Iran launches its first Arabic movie channel. We'll be right back. Tehran says it will free one of the three Americans it is holding for illegally entering Iran last year. Foreign Ministry spokesman Ramin Mehmanparast has told Press TV that Sarah Shuard will be released soon. She was arrested along with Shane Bauer and Josh Fatal in July of 2009 after illegally entering Iran from neighboring Iraq.
با توجه به رأفت اسلامی و نگاه ویژه‌ای که جمهوری اسلامی ایران به خانم‌ها داره و با توجه به این که عید سعید فطر نزدیکه تصمیم بر این گرفته شد که این خانم به زودی آزاد بشه و به آغوش خانوادش برگرده. در رابطه با جزئیات مسئله و اینکه تاریخ دقیق و جزئیات مربوط به آزادی ایشون بحثا ادامه داره و انشالله اطلاع رسانی اون رو خواهیم داشت در آینده. نه.
Well, despite the withdrawal of the so-called U.S. combat brigade, U.S. troops continue to kill and maim civilians in Iraq. Press TV's Wissam Obiati has all the latest.
Apparently withdrew its combat troops from Iraq at the end of August as a preparation for their full withdrawal by the end of 2011. But on September 1st, when terrorists attacked an army base in Baghdad, American soldiers were called in to help Iraqi forces. And as part of the bilateral agreement, the remaining U.S. troops have to be escorted by the Iraqi forces, but they are now seen on the streets without any Iraqi forces accompanying them. The nearly 50,000 U.S. troops now stationed in Iraq are supposed to advise Iraqi forces and protect U.S. interests. They will be armed, but will only use their weapons in self-defense or at the request of the Iraqi government. Since the 1st of September, the U.S. troops killed more than 70 Iraqis. In one incident, the U.S. troops killed three members of a family who were in their parked car.
Some days ago, my mother and brothers were sitting in a car when U.S. troops shot them. The hospital called me and told me about the death of my family members. They did not even stop after shooting.
Such unprovoked killings have angered many politicians in the country, who say that according to the bilateral agreement, the U.S. troops should remain in their bases for training and advisory purposes. They have called on the government to put an end to what they term acts of impunity by the U.S. forces and bring the perpetrators to justice.
The U.S. troops are committing crimes against the people of Iraq. These acts are totally unacceptable. The Iraqi government will do its best to stop these crimes from happening again and bring the criminals to justice.
Law experts believe that bringing the U.S. soldiers to the Iraqi courts is not impossible, but it's still hard to be done, as the U.S. law grants immunity from prosecution to its soldiers around the world. But according to the bilateral agreement signed between Baghdad and Washington, the Iraqi justice system can try U.S. servicemen in local courts if they are suspected of committing serious crimes in Iraqi territory.
Bringing U.S. soldiers to justice will be difficult, but not impossible. An Iraqi law went into effect in 2003 which gave immunity to U.S. soldiers, but things have changed since then. U.S. soldiers now have partial immunity.
The continued presence of the U.S. troops in the Iraqi cities is frustrating the people and making them feel that the occupying forces are not keeping their promises, and has raised doubt about their full withdrawal from Iraq in 2011. Violating the human rights in Iraq has been a subject of concern since the U.S.-led invasion of 2003. According to observers, with the records of U.S. and British troops in violating human rights in Iraq, the necessity of international tribunals to investigate such crimes cannot be overestimated. Wissam Albayati, Press TV, from the Iraqi capital, Baghdad.
Two militant attacks in northern Uganda have left 16 people dead. Authorities in the city of Birao say members of the Lord's Resistance Army, or the LRA, attacked the town of Wandajale on Monday and Tuesday. Two civilians are among the dead. Authorities say members of the Self-Defense Committee in the city managed to kill 15 LRA militants. Two members of the Defense Committee lost their lives during the clashes. The LRA has fought the Ugandan government since 1986.
Two soldiers have been killed in an explosion inside their vehicle in Indian-controlled Kashmir. Police say six other troopers were injured in the blast. The explosion happened as the vehicle was moving in the northern Baramulla district. No person or group has claimed responsibility for the attack. Now, this comes as tensions are still running high in Kashmir. Thousands of demonstrators have taken to the streets to protest against the government on an almost daily basis for months now. Indian forces have been struggling to contain the angry demonstrations, which first erupted after a student was killed by police in June. Around 70 protesters have been killed over the past 3 months. Well, in Colombia, clashes between militants and government forces have recently left dozens of people dead.
Well, the rise in violence comes as President Alvaro Uribe is handing over his responsibilities to the newly elected government. The Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, has launched several attacks during this past month. The violence left more than 45 soldiers, policemen and militants dead last week alone. FARC has a history of intensifying attacks during government transitions. Now, authorities say the militant group, the National Liberation Army, or ELN, has joined FARC's offensives. But the attacks are much smaller in scale compared to before, when FARC took over entire towns. The government is trying to deal with the militants with the help of the U.S.-backed military.